is old LGO. And I lost my mind somewhere in New Mexico. And T.W. put a snake on my back. Keep a red bone on my side. And there's people all across the land, from East Kentucky down to Alabama. Hold on like I am all the time, in an outlaw state of mind.
Morning and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuning in live this Friday, April 19th, 2019 on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. And a wild and crazy ride. It is dystopic, to be sure. Tomorrow, as I mentioned yesterday, tomorrow is the 20th anniversary of the Columbine incident. A coup for Gladio-styled strategy of tension forces. And no one would have remembered if it weren't for the usual trauma-based mind control social engineering efforts. Speaking of which, there are many Easter eggs. I don't care for that term. I really don't. But it is perhaps timely, I guess. So there are many. In yesterday's archive, I finally posted one. I'm working on, you know, trying to do that more systematically. Anyway, it is a fairly voluminous archive. So there are a number of fun things in there. Well, fun, I guess, is a relative term. But there are some interesting and perhaps thought-provoking things in there, including a few quotes, including this one from Alfred W. McCoy. You're familiar with Alfred McCoy's work. This is from the section, his Wikipedia entry, the section titled Recent Work In his book, A Question of Torture, CIA Interrogation, From the Cold War to the War on Terror, McCoy shows how, from the start of the Cold War to the early 1960s, you know, we could leave that out, because that's a sort of downplaying of what has continued on. It's far worse. The CIA spent billions of dollars developing psychological tools for interrogation. And this kind of gets back to the conversation that William and I were having about British intrigue, because British intrigue was responsible for the how do you say it? The I don't know. There are a lot of ways to say it. The internal infrastructure, the double agent aspect of, and a number of other things, the intelligence community in the creation of that and the erection of that, so to speak, in post-World War II America, you know, post-1947 National Security Act America, the resurrection of the OSS, Office of Strategic Services, you know, the out of the ashes of the defunct and disbanded OSS rose the phoenix of the CIA, and it had pivotal and instrumental help from British intrigue. And there were the same things going on in Canada, you know, Camp X, obviously, sort of the inspiration for Ian Fleming's novel series, which became the movie series, and this infatuation that Western culture, America in particular, has held with, you know, tradecraft, basically, and particularly the element of British intrigue. We're just sort of infatuated with it. And that's kind of fun if it's just a story. But if it's more than that, then it perhaps starts to border on dangerous, shall we say. Anyway, from Alfred McCoy. Early on, so the CIA spent billions of dollars. And think about the period that's mentioned here. The Cold War, the War on Terror, McCoy shows. From start of the Cold War to the early 60s, the CIA spent billions of dollars. Think about that in inflation-adjusted terms. Billions of dollars developing psychological tools for interrogation. Early on, the emphasis was on electroshock, hypnosis, psychosurgery, and drugs, including the infamous use of LSD on unsuspecting soldiers and civilians, including students, right, parenthetically. But these methods appeared a complete waste of time, although they were of dubious legality. You know, I'm thinking we're headed toward The Minds of Men, Aaron Melissa Dyke's documentary. Drawing on the sensory deprivation work of a Canadian neurological scientist, Donald O. Hebb, it was found that sensory deprivation, here is the key, listen to this, it was found that sensory deprivation was far more effective in brainwashing subjects than beatings or physical pain. Furthermore, self-inflicted pain, for example, forcing an uncooperative subject to stand for many hours with arms outstretched, were more effective means of breaking prisoners. Gosh, you mean, so what you're saying is Dr. Martin Seligman and colleagues were doing CIA research at University of Pennsylvania in the late 60s? It kind of sounds like it, doesn't it? That sounds like Seligman's learned helplessness, doesn't it? Augmented by fears of abuse, sexual humiliation, and other psychological attacks on personal and cultural identity, McCoy has explained how the U.S. government produced exactly the system on display in the Abu Ghraib abuse photographs. Again, that system was, Seligman through Mitchell Jessen and Associates in Spokane, Washington, now, ostensibly disbanded, at least there, the office in downtown Spokane, Washington. Seligman was flown in to, allegedly discuss SEER tactics and that kind of fun stuff with special forces. He was down in Coronado. Back in the day before the war on terror kicked in high gear, the war of terror. So, and, a fun book on that, again, fun is a relative term, is Jane Mayer's book. What the heck is the title of that? Jane Mayer's book. Apologize. The Dark Side, Inside, the Inside Story of How the War on Terror Turned into a War on American Ideals. It's published, more than 10 years ago. Time flies, doesn't it? So, Jane Mayer's book, The Dark Side, The Inside Story of How the War on Terror Turned into a War on American Ideals, includes a little bit of, history on what I just mentioned. But the broader context, I think, it's easy, I don't know, maybe I'm imagining it, but it's easy, in my humble estimation, to see how this applies in American daily life in a much more sort of low-intensity operations fashion. Drawing on the sensory deprivation work of Canadian neurological scientist Donald Hebb, it was found that sensory deprivation was far more effective in brainwashing subjects than beatings or physical pain. Sensory deprivation is far more effective in brainwashing than beating or physical pain. Self-inflicted pain. Forcing an uncooperative subject to stand for many hours with arms outstretched were more effective means of breaking prisoners. Gosh, that sounds like Bertrand Russell, The Impact of Science on Society, right? Diet, injections, and injunctions in particular, the latter, right? Augmented by fears of physical abuse, fears of sexual humiliation, and other psychological attacks on personal and cultural identity. Doesn't that sound like the headlines in America every day and the television shows and movies and pop culture? Fears of this or that, the fear of the threat of global warming, for example, the Me Too movement you could throw in there, because it really hasn't resulted in any sort of meaningful reform, has it? And as I've said before, I certainly wouldn't want to marginalize the trauma that anyone has been through. Quite the contrary, but I think that the so-called Me Too movement has actually marginalized more people than it's helped. And I don't think that's by accident, quite frankly. So, sensory deprivation. I think there's a lot of that happening in America today. I mean, when you look at folks sitting around in restaurants with their devices in front of them, instead of thinking that is just sort of anathema. We would never do that when we're sitting together. Whatever it is, it's certainly not as important. I mean, because what is the message? You're basically telling everyone that you're together with, they're not nearly as important as anything that could be happening on that device. And look at the ways in which we are, a society full of addicts, whether it's someone puffing on an e-cigarette that's worse for their health than tobacco, or you know, the devices. And by the way, it's more awful for the people around those folks on those e-cigarettes. No offense if you do that. But, you know, it's just out of the frying pan into the fire, it seems. We just can't figure it out, you know. Whatever happened to the days when, I mean, can you find locally grown tobacco anymore that's not industrialized, big agricultural, you know, monolithic sort of thing that also, of course, incorporates all kinds of, you know, additional additives and preservatives and harmful toxins in the process of making something. You don't see, I mean, who rolls their own cigarettes anymore? Not that smoking is good for you, but, you know, where can you find locally grown tobacco? Who rolls their own cigarettes? This is America. And so, I don't know about you, but I see this everywhere. Sensory deprivation was far more effective in brainwashing subjects than beatings or physical pain. Self-inflicted pain. And that is a particular point of interest, I think. Because we are encouraged to self-harm in America in all kinds of ways. And this sort of calls to mind what is happening in America. One of the quotes that I included was actually from a book review. It was from E.L. Doctorow's Welcome to Hard Times, the novel that was published in 1960, which was subsequently adapted to the eponymous film, 1967 film starring Henry Fonda. But Wirt Williams wrote the New York Times book review back in 1960 of E.L. Doctorow's Welcome to Hard Times. And in the review, Wirt Williams wrote, "Evil can only be resisted psychically when the rational controls that order man's existence slacken, destruction comes." But the point here is, you know, in putting that in yesterday's archive and sort of thinking about that stuff, you know, you think about Hollywood, you think about the patriarchal and dynastic families, you know, of that sort of era, the golden age of screen. Guys like Henry Fonda, Kirk Douglas, you know, Jimmy Stewart, John Wayne, and a number of other folks. But Hollywood is not particularly skilled and adept at producing happy, well-adjusted people and families and any sort of dynasty or lineage, you know, after, you know, you think of families like the Barrymore family, you know, and you have Drew Barrymore these days. What have we seen, you know, a generation, two, maybe three, and then they seem to burn out and sort of, I don't know, come to an unfortunate end. It's kind of sad. Hollywood is not particularly skilled and adept at making healthy, well-adjusted people. It's great at pretending things. And so, you know, when you start to incorporate these kinds of things, you know, you start thinking about schizoaffective disorder. You start thinking about suspension of disbelief and things like that. It seems pretty self-evident the kind of dangers that should alarm most of us from an unhealthy or an imbalance of consumption of this kind of content. I don't know. But the self-inflicted pain thing I want to come back to. We'll talk more about that on the other side of this break. Stick around. Be right back.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. with all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
So the self-inflicted pain thing, I don't think we think about this nearly enough. Not that we should obsess or, you know, spend too much time on these things, but I think it's important to be aware. And I dare say that the folks who listen to this broadcast are particularly observant of these kinds of things. I think most of America is completely unaware of this kind of thing. And why wouldn't they be? I mean, what cause for concern if you just kind of listen to contemporary rumblings or whatever? What concern would someone have unless they just pause for a moment and sort of feel what's really going on and reflect on that for a moment? You know, just sort of listening to the pulse of things, you get a very candy-coated, specious sort of interpretation of what's going on and what might be a concern, as we know. I mean, it's pretty ridiculous. It's pretty banal and superficial. But lurking just beneath the surface is this kind of stuff. So self-inflicted pain. Think about this, for example. I'm sure you probably have, but when we have, you know, these things that are usually referred to as officer-involved shootings, and I've mentioned some things that, you know, like when an officer, like when officers swarm a van, someone calls in on the tip line and says, oh, I think I saw the van of the guy that's, you know, the alleged whatever, pedophile or, you know, sexual predator. I think that's him in downtown Coeur d'Alene. So Coeur d'Alene PD shows up and they approach the van in a coffee shop parking lot. Yes, this really happened. And as they approach the van on the passenger side, a dog starts barking in the passenger seat, and so they shoot it through the glass, and then they claim that it's a vicious pit bull, full grown. They were in fear for their life, only to discover that it was a puppy. It was a black lab puppy named Arfie. Small little puppy, and they shot it and left a business card on the window of the van, and said, "Hey, come get your puppy. We shot your dog." And the owner was in the coffee shop. The officers didn't even bother going in the coffee shop. Didn't talk to the owner of the coffee shop, or, you know, didn't bother doing any of that. When things like that happen, how does that scenario play out? You know, chief of police sends a public letter of not, it's never truly apologetic. It's posturing. It's always posture and control. You know, if you guys weren't so evil, we wouldn't have to shoot dogs. But so sorry you're so evil is usually how that plays out. Something along those lines. Yes, I'm a little bit cynical, but I don't think too much. Arguably not overly so. Because we are in a society that has been largely dehumanized, and we're encouraged to dehumanize one another and ourselves in the process. But this self-inflicted pain, one of the and self-harm basically is sort of what it comes down to. So when these officer-involved shooting incidents happen, what happens? The officer or officers are placed on administrative leave. You know, Jack Yantis is another case comes to mind. The Otto Zem case is another one. Officers are placed on administrative leave. It's paid administrative leave. And if there is a settlement, who pays the settlement? The officer does not pay the settlement. The department does not pay the settlement. They're not forced to remove red light cameras that are rigged at stoplights to, you know, have you slowing down faster. A point of contention that has gone on for decades now in America, red light cameras where yellow lights go a little bit too fast and you can't stop in time, and so you run a red light. And, you know, we just played the Aurora, Colorado instance of that, what, 2 weeks ago? $2.5 million. A lot of revenue. Are you sure the cameras are still up? Are you sure, Aurora? We could turn this back on. So the community pays for this. Officers don't. The department doesn't. They're not forced to stop their, you know, interdiction efforts, stealing property from people, which is a $1 billion-plus annual boon. Those things aren't, those don't happen. Paid administrative leave, and if there's a settlement, the community pays for it. That's self-harming. So who wants to do a bunch of that? Who wants to increase their taxes because of an officer-involved shooting, especially if we weren't involved in it? If we have no dog in the fight, community says, oh, no, let's, you know, let's not get involved. You know what I'm saying? It's mind control. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Do you know? know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
When your doctor tells you you have bad cholesterol or blockages in the arteries, what do you do? When diet and exercise is not enough, we try medications and hope for the best. For the last two decades, I have been telling people about a natural method to help solve these problems and more. Extendovite can help maintain cardiovascular health and lower blood lipid levels in adults. The seven herbs in Extendovite are known to work together synergistically to get the results we hope for. There are many testimonials on Extendovite's effect on circulatory-related ailments. Get Extendovite today to start your journey back to a healthier life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or see us on amazon.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
35 million people in the United States suffer with debilitating migraines. If you or a loved one are one of them, you need to know about MigRelief. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist that formulated and patented the MigRelief migraine formula. MigRelief is a non-prescription dietary supplement recommended by neurologists, pharmacists, and pediatricians to address nutritional deficiencies in both adults and children over 2 with migraines. Try MigRelief for 3 months and see the powerful difference it can make in your life or get your money back, no questions asked. Go to MIG911.com or call 800-MIG-7354. You can change your life today.
So if you suffer from migraines, don't wait. Call 800-MIG-7354. That's 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
Bottom of the first hour. So, you know, I think if Hollywood is good at producing anything, it's probably generation neoteny. Maybe a generational pan syndrome is what Hollywood is good at producing. So the self-inflicted pain and self-harm thing, hopefully it makes sense. I mean, that's what I always think when there's an officer-involved shooting in the community, there's a settlement, people say, oh my goodness, at least this guy was... No, you know, time and time again, the Jack Yantis situation is a good example of this. Somebody has problems, they're forced out of a department somewhere, they end up somewhere else, and the next thing you know, something bad happens there too. Because, I mean, it's the brotherhood, it's a fraternal order, it is. You know, in an anecdotal sense and also a very literal sense. I'm not saying that there are no good cops. There are. I know some. But it is a fraternal order, and because of the nature of that, sometimes preferential treatment is given to certain folks that is inappropriate. And you factor in on top of that all of the ways that those folks are mind controlled, because, you know, these kids grow up in a herd mentality setting or mindset. They're inculcated into that mindset. If you're not on board with herd think, then there's something wrong with you. You take that and you couple that with all of the training that comes out of Blackwater, essentially, because remember, back 12 years ago now, Eric Prince bought the Backup Training LLC, which bragged itself at the time as the world leader in CD-ROM-based law enforcement training, plugged directly into all of the post academies. And then Blackwater just started pumping PMC doctrine into the post academies. So it's no wonder these guys are just basically hardcore military. They look like military. They're always running around in tactical gear, shaved heads, you know, look like they just stepped off the streets of Baghdad or Fallujah or something like that. In many cases, they just did, quite literally. And then, I mean, you take that and you add in all of this federal, you know, COG, you know, and multi-jurisdictional kind of garbage, and all the training that they're getting, and, you know, federal agencies, FBI showing up in little towns and hamlets across the country, continuity of government kind of nonsense. And what do we expect is going to happen? I mean, you know, the Intercept did the big expose. I'm not a big fan of guys like Pierre Omidyar, but where else can you find that collection of documentation that says, look, every police department across the country has access to these spy tools, and to get access to these tools, they have to sign a non-disclosure agreement that says we, you know, basically they deny the existence of these things, and if the existence of them is discovered, then deny where they came from, how they acquired them. You put all that together, and what do we expect to happen? What do we expect to be seeing? This is not okay, and I believe, speaking of that, not to get too far afield, but if you go to, speaking of Wonder Boy, I put a bunch of links in yesterday's archive. Like I was saying, and we'll have to come back to Pete and his dad Joseph. So there are some links, and, you know, all this stuff goes together, sort of. I don't want to, you know, like I said, I don't want to get too far afield. But, so there are links. There's a section titled Links in yesterday's archive. That's some of the stuff that was discussed during yesterday's broadcast, mentioned. And then under that, more links, there's a section titled Various and Sundry Headlines. That's sort of an experiment. It's an experiment of sorts. I always think of discussing certain headlines, but usually refrain, certainly, from going through a lot of the headlines for a variety of reasons. Nonetheless, from time to time, I want to share my vantage point from the context of the headlines, so to speak. So I've included a few recent headlines, 250 or so, but who's counting? A few being a relative term. There are a lot of headlines. Anyway, my only big concern in that, by the way, is that they are all, I guess, what I might call unsanitized Google News links. they're unredirected Google News links, meaning the link is news.google.com/article/Google's big long deal, which is probably a hashed URL that ties back to my something, you know, and yours are probably different for you, and so on and so on. I wouldn't be surprised. I don't know that to be fact. Haven't researched it at all, but that would be my suspicion. So what you want to do is, you know, that works like a URL shortener, only in reverse, so that those links can be tracked. People are clicking on those. And so that's a big concern. I don't want to do Google any favors in helping to link us all together. Suppose pun intended. Hence, now some who may not have previously known why may see why I think everyone should be running internet traffic through some kind of VPN. I think that that's probably a good idea. But still, you know, even if we're doing that, the link shows us clicked. Even if the traffic is ostensibly untraceable, the link is still getting clicked, if that makes sense. So it's this Google News link, and if it gets clicked 100 or 1,000 or 1,000,000 times, then, you know, that's an alarm bell for Google and partners, associates. So I don't want to do any favors there, but so the, you know, there are subsections. Various and sundry headlines is a subsection of links. Those things weren't discussed on the broadcast. The main set of links under links is what was discussed on yesterday's broadcast. Then, which I usually try to do, I've mentioned that in the past. And then under various and sundry headlines, you have certain groupings, sort of loose groupings. You know, the first three articles, does empathy have a dark side? These are, and these, you know, some of the headings are interchangeable. Like, you know, there are subheadings like econocide, Gladio Manchurian candidates and the strategy of tension, propaganda vaccine controversy, in quotes, measles and such, 5G, I hope it's safe, and other so-called health-related news. Half-baked is a section on Carl's Jr.'s CBD-infused burger that's supposed to roll out tomorrow on the anniversary of Columbine. Isn't that fantastic? Which is just a real mind-bender, I think. Then there's the downright creepy section, and each section even has some loose groupings, like downright creepy has entire pack of Boston Dynamics robot dogs. You know, that video, watch a pack of Boston Dynamics creepy robot dogs pull a truck. These are just some of the things that I've seen in the past couple, few days that I, you know, are provocative headlines, obviously. And then there's all of this stuff, you know, under downright creepy. When you die, this one's separate, sort of all by itself. When you die, you know you're dead because your brain keeps working, scientist claims. And then along with that, the sort of companion that's next is a new definition for death. Scientists restore functionality in brains of pigs killed hours before. And there are a whole bunch of those stories. I have several of those links there. What is it? 2, 4, 6, 7 of those stories. Zombie pigs. Scientists spur some activity in brains of slaughtered hogs. Isn't that fun? Who would think up such an awful thing? I mentioned, you know, we talked last year about how last year was the 200th anniversary of Mary Shelley's Frankenstein. Talked about golems and all kinds of fun stuff like that. And again, that was with the death cult ideology or death cult ideologues as a sort of backdrop, contextual backdrop to this discussion. So that's who does stuff like this, you know? And to be quite frank, it's people who want to live forever, who are vampiric in nature anyway, the way that they prey on the rest of society for their ill-gotten gain and align themselves with the money trust and so forth. Speaking of the money trust, that was another quote that I threw in. Since we touched on that yesterday, as we often do, because it's important for people to know, I threw in the quote from William Greeter's Secrets of the Temple, How the Federal Reserve Runs the Country. He wrote, if creation of the Federal Reserve, this was in the reference section back on page 747, it's about 800 pages, but he wrote, if the creation of the Fed was intended to break the money trust, then why did the new institution collaborate so closely with it? Indeed, and history has shown us that actually they collaborated before and after. You know, guys like Edward Mandel House being instrumental in all of that. Anyway, so these sections are, you know, loosely coupled, kind of fun, and I was going to say a lot of this is interchangeable. Sections like Downright Creepy could include lots of things. Agitprop could include lots of things. PsyOps and Cybernetics could include lots of things. Cyber, not so security and such, could include lots of things. And Wonder Boy is a section for Pete Buttigieg. And that could be, you know, a variety of things. PsyOps, Agitprop, and all kinds of other fun things. So, yeah, there's a lot of fun stuff. Speaking of this character, Wonder Boy, and back to the self-harm and policing and so forth. So if you go to his Wikipedia page, we'll see how long this lasts. You know, if we start talking about it, what will happen? So, yeah, I think it's interesting. But Buttigieg is a devout Christian. And, you know, so a lot of these headlines could be, again, agitprop, psyops, etc. So, I mean, listen to some of the headlines that I threw in here. Don't want to talk about it for obvious reasons, but, for you know, the mention for what it's worth. This guy, I don't even like saying his name. My husband will be an amazing father. That just sickens me. It's aberrant behavior. It's Romans chapter 1. It's not good. Buttigieg campaign says it will stop, I mentioned this yesterday, using Pharisees to describe conservative Christians. That's funny because, you know, what is he? He's a progressive sort of fellow, which means that we can just, you know, we'll all define terms however we want. I identify as, you know, a daisy. So it's crazy. So the section that I'm looking for, where is that? A controversy. First term, where is that? Is it already? No, it's there. So in 2012... Buttigieg demoted South Bend Police Chief Daryl Boykins. I'd like to interview Daryl Boykins. Find out what's going on. I'll just read, you know, from the Wikipedia entry. I think we'll have to wait for the next section to get all of this. It's not very long. It's about a paragraph, I think. Yeah, just this one paragraph, but I'll wait. We're about to head into a break, I think. It's just interesting. You know, as I kind of touched on this yesterday, and anyone with any critical thinking skills, any critical faculty, I think, would look at this and scrutinize this paragraph. What is really going on? What's really going on here? The folks of South Bend, you know, and South Bend is an interesting place. I've actually been there many years ago, like 25 years ago or so, more than that, actually. It's an interesting place, interesting area. but this is a curious little fly in the ointment, I think. 2012, Buttigieg demoted South Bend Police Chief Daryl Boykins after a federal investigation found that the police department had improperly recorded telephone calls. What came next? Well, we'll talk about that. Stick around. We'll be right back.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. September 2018. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I've been using Extendivite for many years now. May 2018. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. March 2018. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. February 2018. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Welcome back. Final segment of the first hour already. I think what we'll do is we'll back up a little bit. There probably isn't enough time. We need a little broader treatment And this is all my opinion. And, you know, I would encourage everyone to come to their own conclusions, but my suspicions, and I've mentioned that I think this character is extremely dangerous. I am not on Antichrist watch, but, you know, we've seen, it seems like every president gets that treatment, basically, you know, from particularly Bush 1, you know, Clinton, definitely Bush 2, definitely Obama, and folks have said the same thing of Donald J. Trump. But this guy, you know, I always kind of dismiss or eschew those kinds of what I would call sensationalist, you know, hyperbolic references. But this guy, super dangerous. Let me put it in a different context. If Mayor Amschel Bauer, a.k.a. Rothschild, and Spartacus, Adam Weishaupt, had a child, his name would be Pete Buttigieg. That's what I think, anyway. You know? Buttigieg is ostensibly Semitic, the surname. You know, he initially studied to be a Jesuit priest. His father, actually, excuse me. You know, significant ties, you know, Harvard, Oxford, Rhodes Scholar, all that kind of fun stuff. But there are some interesting little things that happen. And before I get into whatever happened in South Bend, whatever was being recorded, whatever the investigation was about, I think it's maybe helpful to give a little bit of a backdrop of Mr. Buttigieg's history and his path to the mayorship in South Bend, Indiana. So we'll do that at the top of the second hour in a moment here, and I'll kind of, I don't know, give a little bit of backdrop before we do that, a little bit of background, because I think it's helpful. And, you know, for that matter, what we see in America these days is a reshaping of a vision. It's kind of like a big old, what do you call it? Big old puzzle. And difficult to make sense of it with a bunch of pieces missing. So in this little subset of that sort of discussion, we'll fill in some of those pieces and you can draw your own conclusions. Stick around, we'll be right back. Second hour coming up right after the show.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.